we're going to talk about fruit. And there's a lot of places where Jesus talks about fruit and how we need to appear and how we do appear. And there's a lot of places in the New Testament and out of the New Testament where they talk about what false prophets are going to look like. And what they're going to say and what they're going to do and how we can measure the difference between the two and how we can see the outcome of the fruit. And Jesus says, this is Matthew 7. We're going to go 15 and then we're going to continue on to 23. So, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, you workers of iniquity, is another way of saying that. So Jesus is going to tell people about what these false prophets are going to look like and what the followers of the false prophets are going to think. They're going to think they belong to Jesus. But in reality, they don't. They are those who practice lawlessness. So a false prophet, right? Deuteronomy, they give the entirety of, this is what a false prophet is, this is what you're looking at. Right? But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. It's Deuteronomy 18, 20 through 21. Now, in our society, we hear a lot of people saying, thus says the Lord, right? God is going to do this because I'm speaking it now. Because he has told me that this will happen. How do we know if that person's right or wrong? Well, it says right here. If it doesn't happen, he's not a true prophet. And if he's not a true prophet, well, he's then a false prophet. That prophet shall die. And we're not talking, this isn't like, they're going to be smited right at that moment. This is talking an eternal separation from God. This is Deuteronomy. This is the Bible. So they're still here. False prophets are here. Whether y'all believe that or not, right, there's this group called the Kansas City Group, right? The Kansas City Prophets. They founded a place called the International House of Prayer, led by a guy right now who's the lead pastor there. His name is Mike Bickle. Bob Jones, no relation to Bob Jones of the University of South Carolina, right? He was a visionary of the bunch, right? He was said to have been especially anointed with supernatural visions from the Lord and a prophetic gift. However, he was quoted as saying, the general level of prophetic revelation in the movement's prophets had an accuracy of about 65%. That's what Deuteronomy says, right? 65%, you're good? No. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if things does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, and you shall not be afraid of him. Right? Some prophets were as low as 10% accurate. I can get 10% accuracy just standing here. without even thinking about it. Tonight's Super Bowl winner will be a team wearing red and gold. From North America. The team that wins the Super Bowl's president will be Donald Trump.
There you go.
These are prophecies. Right? They're getting 10% correct. And declaring themselves to be prophets of God.
I hope they're not betting money on it, because they're probably broke.
I was really impressed there for a minute.
With some of the most mature prophets having a rating approaching 85 to 95%, meaning they've still got bad prophecies in there. If they have a bad prophecy, even one, but the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. They have a need for repentance. Because they've spoken presumptuously in the name of God. We still have people out there like this who say that they are speaking for God. And clearly, they're not. Beware of these men. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. Jude writes, he says, these are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea, casting their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. The wolves in sheep's clothing. They're hidden amongst you. They're hidden reefs at your love feasts. The ship going along the water, right? It's going along. You don't know where the coral reef is. Water still flows through it. But man, you hit that and your ship is done. You're not going to see the disturbance until it's too late. They're caring for themselves. What do we call a cloud without water? Smoke. Right? It's smoke. It's there, and it's there to choke the victims out. They're removing the gospel from the message. Taking the words of Christ out of church. Taking the word as we have it, and making it what they want. Preaching from paraphrases and not telling us what the Bible actually says. They've got problems. They want to say that it's all about the Benjamins. And making it rain. Instead of it being all about Christ. And giving. So many of them are about how to receive more. Receive more blessing, receive more money, receive more wellness, receive this, receive that. And none of it is about how to receive Christ and how to get the gospel. There's a story of two trees involved in all of this. And he says there's the tree with the good fruit, the tree with the bad fruit. Go to the one with the good fruit. Too often we get sucked in by the tree with the bad fruit, though. Right? Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For the day you eat from it, you will surely die. It's Genesis 3, 15 to 17. When we look at that, Eve goes up to the tree, and what did she see about the fruit? It was a delight to the eyes. It was beautiful. She wanted it. Satan said, did God really say you shall not eat of it? The answer is yes. She said, not only should you not eat, but you should not touch. She twists God's word. she mishandles God's word, and the end as we know it is history. Right? Let's compare this tree with the next one. This is about Jesus, as he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 2 Peter 2:23 and 24. It's talking about the other tree. That second tree. The one that saves us, right? We come to salvation through that tree. We come to death by the other one. We have to look at not just the tree, not how pretty it is, right? This tree was beautiful. It was a delight to the eyes, right? That's fruit. Would make one wise, right? We'd give them wisdom. The knowledge of good and evil. I mean, this tree is ugly. It's twisted. It's a torture device. It's not the one that you want to think, oh, that's the good tree. You know them by the fruits, right? The good fruit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There's no law about any of these. As we have progressed through society, we try to make societal laws against them. Right? This word is agape love. Right? All-encompassing. We are to love everyone. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're to love them like God does. How do we do that? By telling them. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We have to tell them about that Son that God gave the world. If we're not doing that, we're not showing love. That is love. Greater love has no man than this, than that he would lay down his life for his friends. That is love. Love is being willing to die to yourself so the gospel can go forth. Joy. We often get joy and happiness mixed up. Happens in the church, happens out of the church, happens everywhere, right? Happiness is based on what happens to you. Joy is based on knowing who God is and that God sent his Son to die for you. That's a good fruit. Peace. It's knowing in your heart who God is. It's not this peace, love, hope, right? That's not the peace we're talking about. It's talking about that inner peace of knowing who God is. That's a good fruit. Patience. Oh, I struggle with patience, all right? I'm going to tell you all now, all right? Most of us probably do. Guy cuts you off on the highway and you're like, right? I mean, come on.
Son of a sea cook.
But think about it. Even when you're being patient with him, you still have to be kind to him.
Even when watching the news, you have to be kind.
Kind. Kindness. Right? Not only do you have to love somebody, but you have to be kind to them too. Now, that's hard. Pray for those who persecute you. Right? That's what Jesus says. He says, pray for those who persecute you.
Love you.
Oh.
That's hard.
Right? It might be the most difficult command in the entire Bible.
Especially when they keep doing it over and over.
Yeah.
That's really hard.
Goodness. Being good. Right? Being and doing good. Right? That's a fruit of the Spirit. That says, hey, you've got the Spirit. You are able to be good to other people. Doing the right thing. Feeds into your integrity. Right? And feeding into your integrity comes your faithfulness. Obeying God when nobody else sees what you're doing. It's another part of that integrity thing. Gentleness. Anyone who says to his brother, Raka, you fool, is worthy of death. Anyone who curses his brother is worthy of death. His neighbor. That goes back to that loving your neighbor as yourself. Self-control.
The problem with that part, man, is it's not just the guy who lives next door. It's everybody.
Everybody. Right.
So.
Self-control. That's the other one. Self-control. That's being able to being not just able to control yourself, but being aware enough of who you are in Christ that you can continue to move onward. Against such things, against these things, there is no law. That's tough. Now the deeds of the flesh, it's a much larger list. Right? Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these.
Shortly.
Just in case I miss something, anything else that looks somewhat like it. Right? Of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's a big list. Right? We talked about jealousy last week. Right? Strife. Disputes, dissensions, factions, divisions.
Some people just generally leave the house.
Now, see, we look at disputes and dissensions, and in today's words, what would we call that? Arguing. Oh, you shouldn't argue, because, you know, that's you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, but that's not what the word argue means. We talked about that. Argue means to make a logical assertion, followed by facts. Logical assertion based on facts. That's what arguing is.
What is assertion?
To state. A logical statement based on facts.
Well, just say that.
So that's Galatians 5. And basically, it's 19 to 23.
Because when you have a lot to say, you want to limit the amount that you have to say to a few less words. That's
why. If I can cut down the words, I'll cut them down. So, we see what good fruit is. We see what bad fruit is, right? So often I'm told about all these terrible things that are done by Christians.
That's why I don't come to church.
So I don't go to church because all these terrible things throughout history that have been done by Christians. Jesus says you're going to know them by their fruits. I heard somebody tell me that Adolf Hitler was a Christian. And I was like, most certainly was not. And they're like, well, he claimed he was. I said, well, I can stand in a car or a garage and claim I'm a car. It doesn't make me one. I said, but Jesus said, you know them by their fruits. And I've seen the fruits of Hitler. I've seen pictures of the concentration camps. I've been to the Holocaust Museum. I know his fruits. I do know him by his fruits. Most certainly not a Christian. Now, everybody wants to point at Matthew 7, and we talk about this a little bit with judgment, right? Do not judge that you will not be judged. For the way that you judge, you will be judged. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Right? We have to judge the fruits. Isn't that counterintuitive to not judging? This isn't do not judge. This is a here's how you're supposed to judge. This is the way you do it. It's kind of an order of events. Because he follows it up and he says, before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, do what?
Work on the log.
Take a log out of your own eye. It's an order of events. It's how you're supposed to judge. It's not a do not judge, but a judge this way. Judge rightly. Judge with the right standard of measure. Right? Because that's the standard that will be used to you. Why do you look at the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? First, take the log out of your eye. Then, help your brother. Not worry about the log in your eye. Don't focus on your brother ever. No. It's an order of events. So let's not be silly and say, yeah, the Bible says don't judge. That's silliness. It is absolute silliness.
No, it says right
standing
in the Bible.
There's a cartoon that the kids watch. It's called Buck Denver and the Sunday School Lady. She says, that's poppycock and I won't stand for it. Right? That's what that is. It's garbage. And we can't stand for it.
Scripture that people seem to know. But when you say, do not judge, aren't you already judging yourself?
Yeah.
You know?
Telling somebody not to judge is a judgment in and of its own.
Yeah.
Right? He says, anyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, right? He says, he breaks it down. He says, look, not everybody says to me, Lord, didn't I do this in your name and that in your name and cast out demons and do this and do that? Jesus plus anything else, right? I've heard of Buddhist Christians. That's a Jesus and, right? Jesus and something equals nothing. It doesn't equal what the Bible tells us, right? We are only saved by one thing. Grace by grace through faith. That's it. We're saved by grace through faith. Don't get it twisted and add that alone in there that the reformers added in, right? Saved by grace through faith. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Right? But we know what faith is. It's belief and obedience. Right? It's John 3:36. Faith is belief and obedience. It means we have to follow what God has commanded. Jesus and Jesus alone can serve to save from our sins, which were brought forth at the bad tree, which produced bad fruit. Because what did it produce in her, in Eve? Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. Idolatry, that's a big one. We don't focus on that one. Eve was worshiping that she could be like God. That's what she wanted. She wanted to be like God. Oh, she was making herself to be God. And Adam as well. Right? Because he mishandled what God said and gave his own version of the text to her. That's idolatry. I'm going to change God's word to match what I want it to say. Mm-hmm. Not change my words to match what God said.
Mm-hmm.
Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, that's a division. Right? A division? separating us from God. Right? Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Eve is practicing these things when she takes of the fruit.
Oh.
Jesus gives a very clear, here's how you enter. Right? He says, enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. Matthew 7:13. It is broad that leads to destruction. This more universal path that we have, that people have developed in our culture, our society today, is leading people to destruction because it is the broad path. It's the everybody gets there.
All roads lead to heaven.
There is one way to heaven. That's it.
Right.
One path. And it's a narrow one. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. It's like a hide and seek. It's like going on a path. A really narrow one. Kind of lose the exact markings for a second. It takes time and effort and a continual walking to find the right path. It's not just a given. It's not a given that everybody goes to heaven. Not everybody goes to heaven. We know that. He says, at that time I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. And the books were opened. All the other books are open. They're sitting out there. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. We heard about that. Right? We were talking about Revelation. We heard about the book of life and that there's names in it. And that God is threatening to blot the names out of people from the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. It's Revelation 20:13. God is going to judge us all at the end of times. This is without a doubt. Jesus says that if we confess Him with our lips, then He will confess us before His Father. We confess Him before the world, He will confess us before the Father. Who are we confessing? Are we confessing Christ? Or are we confessing something else that's almost there, but not quite? It's close. It's not close enough. Or are we confessing Christ? As He sits in the pages of the Bible, as He is in the 66 books that make up the Bible, are we confessing something else that we want to believe? Have we created God in our image, or have we allowed ourselves to be created in His? That's what it really boils down to. If we are making this other Jesus, this more family-friendly Jesus, that isn't the Jesus of the Bible, then we have a problem. Because we've made God in our image. And not only do we not know Him, but He does not know us. Our goal, our desire must be to know Christ and Him crucified in such a way that it is undeniable who you follow. Let's pray.